Welcome everyone. I hope you've had a great afternoon, and what a blessed time it is to be a part of this deacon ordination service. Amen. For Brother Ronnie and Brother James and their wives, it's a great honor and a privilege to get to be a part of it. As we move forward tonight, we're going to go ahead and get the affirmation of vote over with. So I would entertain a motion that in the manner of Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, Ronnie Vaculik and James Trevathan be chosen by a vote of affirmation to fulfill the ministry of deacon as a servant to Jesus' church at New Hope Baptist Church, Pinehurst, Texas. I'd entertain a motion. Carol, thank you. Is there a second? Brother, got you. All right, any discussion? Any discussion on these two men before we vote a vote of affirmation? Anything? Anything? All right. I guess that's good news. Amen. You got one, brother? What do you got back there? Nothing? You believe they're worthy. Amen. That's a good word. All right. I've got to say this so that we can get it behind us. Before we give our affirming vote as a congregation, is there anyone here present that might show cause or reason that either one of these men not be affirmed to the deacon ministry of here at New Hope Baptist Church? Anyone? All right. Praise God. That's always a good sign. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, if you're in favor of the said motion, would you signify by a round of applause? All right. And those opposed by the same sign? And there are no. Okay, very good. I want to welcome Brother Gary Snyder from Bethel Baptist Church. He's here with us. Let's give him a round of applause. Amen. And then we have four deacons from First Baptist Church, North Houston. That's Brother Mike Westbury's church. You know Brother Mike, you love him. And so let's give these men a hand. Amen? All right. Very good. Well, with that said, let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 8, and we'll take it through verse 13 this evening. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God tonight. Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning in verse 8, and we will take it through verse 13. All right, if you found that this evening, would you say amen?
Amen.
The Word of God reads this, as Paul writing to the church, writing to Timothy, who's at the church of Ephesus. Verse 8 reads, "Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. And Lord, we embark on a great journey with these two gentlemen, their wives, as they support them and assist them in this ministry. Lord, we pray that you would give them the anointing, you would give them the unction, Lord, you would give them the strength, the determination, the persistence, the stick-to-itiveness, Lord, to stick with the calling that you placed upon their life. Lord, I pray that this church would receive these two men as a gift from God. And Lord, you would be blessed and glorified and honored through their service to your church. Lord, I pray that you would help them each and every day. Lord, may they be a great blessing to the deacons that we have. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said,
amen.
Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. And may he add his tremendous blessing to it. The reason for deacons is found in Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1 and taking it through verse 7. Out of that passage, we can derive that deacons are to be servants of the church and protectors of the pastor, elder, overseer's ministry of teaching and preaching the Word of God. The deacon's function is one of service as to promote peace and harmony in the congregation, so that the pastor, the elder, the overseer can fulfill his calling of building the congregation up in the Word of God. A healthy, functioning and serving body of deacons is necessary for a healthy, thriving, and God-honoring church. The English word deacon is transliterated from the Greek word diakonos, which is usually translated servant. By the time Paul wrote 1 Timothy, the Ephesian church had grown to the point that certain people were serving in the church in official capacities. Paul referred to them by that Greek term, diakonos, and we call them today deacons. Official servants must be qualified. That's why we're here tonight. Although a deacon is not a pastor, although he's not an elder or an overseer, he is still a leader in the church because he serves the Lord by implementing the taught word of God. He is a model servant of Christ. Therefore, to become and maintain the office of deacon, the man must meet certain qualifications. And we're going through them right here, right now. And gentlemen, you'll have an opportunity to respond as we go through these. And ladies, you'll get to answer one question. And congregation, you'll get to answer one question. So let's begin. The deacon's personal character. Verse 8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. Grave in my King James Version, maybe dignity in your New American Standard, maybe reverent in your New King James Version. The Greek word translated grave, dignity, reverent, is semnos. It means serious. Amen? Serious. And refers to a person who has a stateliness about him that demands respect. A man who serves as a deacon understands the seriousness of spiritual issues. This is serious business we're talking about tonight. Not fun and games. This is serious. We're talking about the salvation of lost people, the building of the kingdom of God, the bringing glory and honor to our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we're talking about. Grave. Secondly, not double-tongued as we talk about personal character. The Greek word dialogos. Dialogos. That word in the Greek here is used only once right here in this passage. It's a word that Paul specifically wanted to use. What does it mean? It means what it says. Don't be two-tongued. Don't be a malicious gossip. You cannot be quick to discuss private matters. Oh, I won't say anything about that, then leave and say something about that. You can't do that. You cannot be known to say one thing to one person and the opposite to another. Deacons are to speak consistently. They're to speak righteously. They're to speak honestly. They're to speak reverently. Amen? Amen. Not given to much wine. Not a drunkard. Number three, wine was practically the only drink in Paul's day. This wine was mixed in a 10-to-1, not a 2-to-1, not a 3-to-1, but a 10-to-1 ratio with the water of the day, the water sources that they had. Why did they do that, Pastor? Why did they just drink the wine? Because they weren't trying to get drunk. They were trying to keep from getting dysentery. And so they mixed it with the water. The evils that accompany drinking were not attached to the moderate use of mixed wine in that day. However, because of modern refrigeration, because of water filtration, because of this thing called chlorine today and the filters, wine is no longer necessary. It's really a moot point, right? We're just not going to what here? We're not going to drink. Amen? Not going to do it. Not greedy of filthy lucre. In New Testament times, the deacons who served in the church were involved in the collection of money from the membership and the passing out of the money to widows and to orphans and to needy people. Many transactions were made in cash. The deacons who handled the money actually carried the funds in a little purse on their belt. So the temptation was always present to use the money for one's own purpose. So an official servant in the church had to be free of the love of money. Amen? Today, the number one indicator of not greedy of filthy lucre would be a man's attitude of generosity to Jesus Christ through his giving of tithes and offerings. Amen, guys? Another indicator would be his attitude to meeting the physical needs of the widows and the widowers, the disadvantaged and the poor. So men, I ask you this question. As you serve the church, will you seek to possess an exemplary character? Amen. Here we go. the deacon's spiritual life, verse 9. If you'll look with me in your Bible, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. The deacon holds to the mystery of the faith. The mystery of the faith simply refers, listen to me, church, simply refers to the whole redemptive truth that we find in the Word of God. Amen? It's a beautiful truth. Criswell called it the scarlet thread of redemption that runs through the Bible. Amen? Jesus' coming was illustrated in the garden after the fall of man when God shed blood to clothe Adam and Eve. Jesus' coming was further prophesied from Genesis 3:15 on throughout the Old Testament, and consequently, Jesus' first advent, His first coming, was fulfilled in New Testament time. Amen? The deacon holds to all the redemptive history as revealed in the Word of God. The deacon has a pure, has a clear conscience because he obeys the truth as revealed in God's Word. He follows the principles. Those are the do's in God's Word. He abides by the precepts. Those are the don'ts of God's Word. When a deacon who is strong doctrinally, when he knows his Bible doctrine and he violates that doctrine, he has a strong conscience that reprimands his own self. Amen? Show me a person who is weak in his conviction of God's truth, and I'll show you a person with a weak conscience. Men, as you serve the church, will you commit to regularly getting into the Word of God as a constant reminder of the importance of the church? Proclaiming. The church has got to proclaim the redemptive gospel. So will you be in the Word to remind yourself of that and for your own personal conscience sake? Yes, amen. Very good. Well, we're talking about now the deacon's spiritual service. The deacon's spiritual service. It says, let these also first be proved. That's not a holy suggestion. That is an imperative. That's imperative in the Greek. The verb is present passive tense, which implies an ongoing test. What? An ongoing test. It don't end tonight. It's just getting going. It's an ongoing test. Not a single test or a probationary period. Deacons are to be continually tested. It says, let them use the office of a deacon. See, the test is an ongoing general assessment by the church of each deacon's service to Christ. And I would simply say, men, welcome to the party. Because when you talk about accountability, the test is no different than what the pastor, what the elder, or what the overseer goes through. I'm only as good as the last couple of sermons I've preached. That's it. It don't matter what I did last year. It matter what I did today, what I did last week. Pastor's only as good as the last couple of sermons he's preached. He's only as kind as the last couple of hospital visits he went to. And he's only as spiritual as the last few times he prayed in public. Boy, the eyes are on you, friend. Deacons are held accountable for the glory of Christ through His church. So men, as you serve the church, will you graciously shoulder the accountability you have to this church as the eyes of this congregation will be upon you? And congregation, will you seek to give these men grace? Will you seek to give them forgiveness and your prayer support when they let you down or fall short in meeting a need? And when they exceed your expectations, will you praise God for them and thank them for their service? Amen. Very good. Well, now we're talking about the deacon's moral purity. Being found blameless, verse 10, the second half of it. And husband of one wife, verse 12, the first part of it. Being blameless, verse 10b. The deacon is to be without reproach, without spot, without blemish. There should be nothing in his life for which he could be accused and thus disqualified. That's why we asked you the question at the very beginning. Is there anyone that wants to say anything why one of these two men may not be ordained as a deacon tonight? He's to be blameless. He's to be a one-woman man. A deacon is to be faithful in action and attitude to the woman who is his wife. After God, after the God of this Bible, after your relationship with Jesus Christ, your heart is to be totally devoted to the wife you were married to. Amen? So men, as you serve the church, if you ever struggle in the area of blamelessness, listen to me, or fidelity to your wife, will you commit to seek out your pastor and these other deacons for the sake of restoration and reconciliation? Will you do that? Boy, don't get so far out there and let guilt keep you away. You have a struggle, you have a fumble. You come. We love you. We want to help you. Amen? We're talking about the deacon's home life now, verse 12b. It says, ruling their children and their own houses well. The deacon and his wife must manage their children and possessions well. And let me tell you, with four at home, that is a challenge. Amen? That is a challenge to manage the household well. Amen, Sister Stephanie? Yeah. Yeah, we're living it. The deacon proves he has leadership ability by how capably he and his wife handle situations and solve problems in their home. Men, as you serve the church, will you commit to first serve and minister to your wife and to your children and grandchildren? Amen. Thank you. Now we're talking about the deacon's wives. The deacon's wives, her qualifications. Verse 11, church, even so, must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. The deacon's wife's qualifications. By interjecting just a few important remarks about deacon's wives, Paul is saying that you women are, in a sense, your husband's assistants in helping the poor, helping the needy, and keeping the peace in the congregation. Keeping the peace in the congregation. One more time, let's say it together. Keeping the peace in the congregation. Amen? Boy, your wife can help you there or hurt you there. Keeping the peace in the congregation. Also, I believe Paul is saying by inference that there are certain situations, certain ministry opportunities for which women are better qualified. Amen, guys? We can say an amen to that? That's right. So he takes us through it. He says, grave, not slander, sober, faithful in all things. Grave again. Wives are to have a sense of dignity, a sense of stateliness, coming from their spiritual devotion to Christ and His church. Not slanderers. In other words, discreet. The Greek word translated slanderers here is diabolos, is often translated devil. We get the point. Amen? The devil is the supreme slanderer, and we don't want anything to do with that. Amen? A deacon's wife is not to act like the devil's children. They must watch what they say. Because let me tell you something. Everybody's going to be listening and watching what they say. Sober, temperate. This is the same Greek word in verse 8, not given to much wine. Deacon's wives are to be sober and sensible in their judgments. And that is impossible if they are not sober physically. And then finally, faithful in all things. Trustworthy. Trustworthy we're talking about. This qualification parallels that of deacons in verse 8, not greedy of filthy lucre. If a wife of a deacon were greedy, trusting the deacon would be what, church? It would be very difficult, would it not? Be very difficult. Ladies, as you assist your husbands in this great calling to serve the church, will you seek to emulate, model, and internalize these four great characteristics of a deacon's wife? Amen. All right. Well, those are the questions. Now we come to the rewards. Amen? Well, that's good. God's a given God, isn't He? I'm telling you, faithful deacons, when they get to glory one day, they're going to have a deacon crown, I think. A servant's crown. It's going to be jeweled. They're going to have something to lay down at the feet of Christ. Amen? They're going to have something to lay. The deacon's rewards. Verse 13 says, "For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying if you serve well as a deacon, you'll be lifted up. You'll be lifted up both by God and even by man. We're not going to lift you up past Jesus. We're not going to put you on a pedestal, but we're going to lift you up in a sense. You'll be respected. You'll be honored. You'll be looked up to. Your spirituality will be contagious. Amen? Nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing, right, church? It says, great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. If you serve God well, you will see His power and grace at work in your life. And you know what that will do? That will energize you for greater service. For greater service. Seeing God active in your life tends to make one more bold. The Greek word translated for boldness, parousia, is often used in reference to boldness of speech. Boldness of speech. Two things accrue to the faithful deacon: respect and confidence. So men, with that said, if you will stand and come before the Lord's Supper table, I want to give you the charge. And then we're going to have these men, one in each chair. And those of you that are ordained, we want to invite you to come. Pray over them. That prayer is between you and them. The congregation doesn't need to necessarily hear an out loud prayer, but lay hands on them, ordained men. Pray over them. And then when I've seen that every ordained man has prayed over them, we will bring them back together here in the middle, and we'll pray over them as a church. Amen? This is the charge, men. Because of this congregation's affirmation of your call to be a deacon, and because of your affirmation to the qualifications of a deacon as found in Scripture, as pastor of New Hope Baptist Church, I'm privileged to now charge you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit to prayerfully and diligently fulfill the office of deacon. May your service to this church in the years to come bring glory and honor to the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Gentlemen, if you'll move those chairs out about 3 feet from those plants so folks can come around the back side of you. Miss Karen, if you'll come and play softly. Ordained men, I invite you to come, lay hands, and pray over these two deacons. All right. Ben, can you get on your knees with me? We're going to get on our knees right here. And you'll move those chairs out of the way. Put them up on the platform if you would, guys. Or right there, that'll be fine. Out of the way. You guys will come right here. Let's take a knee. Congregation, you come. Other deacon brothers and pastors, you come. I want you to place your hand on that Bible right there, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're gonna pray together now. We're going to pray together. Amen. All right. Somebody let me know when everybody's down here. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You right now, we thank You, Lord, for the gift of ministry. Lord, we're thankful that You're giving these men to this congregation. Lord, Your church deserves to be served. Lord, the widows deserve to be taken care of. Those that are, Lord, without, they deserve some help. And Lord, we're thankful for two outstanding, upstanding servants of God here in this church, Lord, that You've called out from among us. Lord, we pray that You give them the special anointing for this specific task. Lord, that You pour out upon them Your blessing. Lord, help them when their lives interfere with their ministry. Lord, I pray that You would give them patience and grace. And Lord, give them wisdom on what they need to let go and what they can do. And Lord, help them ask for help if they're not sure. Lord, I pray for teachable spirits, Lord, as I've seen in these two men. Lord, I just pray their teachable spirits would continue. And Lord, I pray that You would just include them in the ministry of getting out Your word. As they serve the church, the pastor is released to fulfill his calling. And Lord, as we all do what we're supposed to do, Jesus is lifted up. The lost are drawn to Him. And You're glorified. Your church is built. And the kingdom goes forward, Father. Lord, we know You're coming back. We know You're coming back soon. But Lord, tonight, we take the gospel. We take it out of here. We take it out of here as a church that has just been blessed. Just been given two servants. Lord, to add to the servants that are already here. Thank You for the testimony we have of the men before us. And Lord, may their testimony just sweeten what's already been done.
Yes, Lord.
And bring a fragrant offering to You, Jesus. We praise You and we love You. Lord, we thank You for all that You do for us.
Yes.
We thank You for the tie that binds. Thank You that we're one in the blood and in the body.
Amen.
Thank You for Your Spirit here tonight. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said,
Amen.
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 All right, let's give the Lord a hand, church. All right, please join us next door. We're going to have a time of cake, punch, and coffee. We're going to sugar you up for the ride home.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, sure. Let's give it to them next door. Yeah, that'll be fine.